Okay, so yesterday we started this topic of the time for Bedikas Chametz, which, as we mentioned, really goes to not only the very beginning of the Masechta, but the very, very beginning of the Masechta, the first word. And we'll see more today that that first word is going to be very significant and is the topic of some actual significant controversy for practical purposes. So you thought you could just tear through this Masechta and fly through the first word and not get stuck in the box. And it's hard to think outside that box because that box has a lot to say. And maybe when you open up the box, you find a lot of light pouring out. So what exactly is the significance of that is something we'll return to in a few minutes. But what we saw yesterday is that you could have made Bedikas Chametz a different time. And the Gemara, right before our topic, has discussed the reason Makim in the Mitzvot, which, okay, indicates that the Mitzvah should take an early slot within a range, but the question of what exactly is the range, and where should that time be established? So if Tashbisu is during the daytime, the next day of Erev Pesach, so perhaps Bedika should have been around then. And we saw that the Gemara quotes Rav Nachman with two explanations of why it is that the night of the 14th, the beginning of the night of the 14th, is the time that Chazal associated with Bedikas Chametz. One is because that's when people are home, and also because the candlelight at nighttime is the best way to effectively perform this mitzvah. So therefore, in order to get all that you can, that's why the time was selected. And those two reasons, maybe some understood them to be one reason, like the tzlach, but most see them as two reasons. But there's a lot of discussion as to why you need the two and how the two work together, how they cover all the bases and the like. And one point that we generally try to extract here is that they seem to be coming from two different directions, that, or maybe two different types of focus. Is it a broad focus or a specific focus? That the idea that we want to have people at home, that seems like a general consideration that we have by mitzvahs overall, that we want to protect them and make sure they don't get forgotten. And therefore, this is a good time to catch people. And then it flows into the next statement of the Gemara that you shouldn't start a Torah learning session at that time because of this potential risk to the mitzvah. While the other idea of a candlelight at nighttime, that's more of a Bedikas Chametz specific type of consideration. The idea presumably being that that will give you the best shot at doing an effective job. Okay, so with that, and we talked about some of the various explanations that you find as to how they come together, and we'll discuss another one today. Maybe by now you've seen. Also, I don't know if any of you took were able to find any time during the Seder or something. Tomorrow's another opportunity to look at some of these achronim on the daf and see how they present it. So the Pnei Yeshua and the Tzvas Emes and the Chsam Sofer and the Tzvah, all of them addressing this question from different angles. But to really zoom in on the question, so the idea that this is the time slot that we pick, the beginning of the night of the 13th. So practically speaking, what is driving that? And the reading of later Svarim is that this was a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ravid. Now it's more subtle than your usual machlokes in between the Rambam and the Ravid, because very often they're not subtle at all. The Rambam will say something, and the Ravid on the spot will jump up and say, not true. That's awful. Worst thing I ever heard. So there you have a machlokas. Here, it's much more subtle, because the Ravid is not on the Rambam, although he's maybe in a few other places. And the Rambam is very, very subtle. And you have to read the Rambam carefully to see a different position. And the Ravid, as we'll see, was himself subject to a lot of different readings. And a few ways in which the Ravid yields some questions as to what exactly he's getting at. So if I've been vague and mysterious enough, so let's try to narrow it down. Let's try to come in a little closer here. So the Rambam's language. The Rambam says that we look for chametz at the beginning of the 14th of Nisan at night, beginning of the night of the 14th of Nisan. So what's his exact phrasing here? And at least some of you have been given a little bit of a clue during Seder. We went back and forth, so that may help you pick up on the one significant letter in the word. Anyone want to jump in? All right, what can you notice about how the Rambam phrases it? Right, the Rambam tells us that this institution of Bedikas Chametz applies mitchilas Halayla. Now the question is there a difference between mitchilas and bitchilas? Anyone have any thoughts? Yeah, Zach?
Well, bitchilas would sound like it's limited to like the very beginning of the night. Whereas
Mitzvah
sounds like that's the earliest you can do it, but then you can go on the rest of the night.
Correct. Right? So that is how, for example, Rav Kook, in the comments from the Tov Rawi, that's how Rav Kook read the Rambam. And that may be a significant point. Like that one can read the Rambam to say that there isn't really significance to the beginning of the night. The nighttime is the zman for the mitzvah. So once you hit nighttime, the whole night is eligible. Now, does that mean the whole night is equal? No, because we just finished previously discussing Zrizin Makdim in the mitzvahs. And right after this, we talk about don't start a shiur then because you're going to get distracted. So, right before and right after this line, we have different reasons why we would prefer to do the mitzvah at an earlier slot. But those are imposed upon the more simple reality that the whole night is the mitzvah. So, you want it to be at night so that the candle is going to make a difference. But, perhaps what the Rambam position is that yes, it should be at night, but there's no real significance to what part of the night it is. Even though, still, you should do it at the beginning of the night because there's reason, and because, in general, we take steps to prevent you from missing a mitzvah. So all those factors come together and say, practically speaking, it should be the beginning of the night. But as far as the mitzvah itself is concerned, it's really equal all night. So, mitzchilas halayla is the time. How does the Ravid fit in? So, did you get a sense from the Ravid? And we'll get to see that Ravid on the riff. And so, what does the Ravid say over there? It appears other places as well, in his Chuvus and the Tzvim Deim. He's quoted by many later Svarim. Right, the Ravid is commenting back on that first word of the Masechta, back to the Bas. Very appropriate for Zoom that we focus on the Bas. Right, so what is the meaning of the Masechta starting with the word Or? Which seems like the opposite of what we're talking about. So if it's a nighttime mitzvah, why do we start with Or? And of course, the Gemara goes through all of that in the first couple of Tapim. So is it because it's a Lishna Ma'alya? Is it because it is a nicer way to say things, like the Gemara picks up on that theme, that we try to focus on the positive? So says the Ravid, that's not enough. We like positive language, don't get me wrong, it's a big thing. But to say you're going to teach the din is the opposite of what it is, light when it means dark, that doesn't sound so feasible. Doesn't sound so likely. So presumably it's not coming to tell you the opposite. It's coming to tell you the thing itself, that even though it's at nighttime, the mitzvah was instituted at a time when there is a little bit of light coming in. The beginning of the night. So how is that significant as a statement that can be opposed to the Rambam? It would sound like that it's not just that the whole night is equal, but do it at the beginning because there's reason, because of not forgetting the mitzvah. But otherwise, the night is conceptually equal. Sounds like, according to the Ravid, that no, the beginning of the night is the time. That's what the Mishnah is telling you. That the Zman of the mitzvah is during that time of the night where there's still a little bit of daylight. And that's how they instituted it. And therefore, one would change that letter in the Rambam to represent the Ravid's position. It's not mitchilas halayla. It's bitchilas halayla. That's when Chazal instituted at the beginning of the night. That's when Bezikas Chametz should happen. And to do it at a later time is not only an issue of Zrizus or of forgetting the mitzvah, but it's a bigger issue. It means you're not doing the mitzvah at the right time. You know, the mashal, though it's a more extreme mashal, it's like if you give your baby son a bris milah on the ninth day just because you choose to. So yes, that's not Zrizus Makdim in the mitzvos, but it's a much bigger deal. Right, it's also taking it out of the concept of a milah b'zmana. It means the mitzvah is the eighth day, and choosing it to do it the ninth day is not only a chisaron in Jesus, that's a major loss in terms of what the mitzvah is supposed to be. So, as you see, it's subtle, but it could be a significant difference between the Rambam and the Ravid, and a much lower volume than the normal disputes between the Rambam and the Ravid. You have to work harder to find it, but perhaps there is such a machlokas. Now, so some svarim points at Daniel, you're raising your hand?
Yeah, so according to the Ravid, seemingly the whole idea of using a nair would have nothing to do with making it easier to find a chomet. It's just because of the pasuk. What's the
pasuk? Yeah, so it's complicated gzeres shava, learning from one language to the other. Maybe. That's something we have to examine first. This week actually comes up a little bit later on Dav Zayin where that drasha is. And you have to try to understand exactly just how crucial the candle is. It has many practical implications. So God willing, we will explore that a little bit more deeply. But I'm not sure if you can get that much from the Ravid here. It's also interesting that I asked you to look at the Maram Chalava. I sent you that link. So the Maram Chalava, whether exactly he means, so some Achronim read this Maram Chalava if you have it in front of you. I just opened it up here for me. That he has it as minimizing the Slimut from the Ravid. But let's see if that's true if you have it in front of you. So on the second comment, Amar Abaye Hilka Chai Turbim Mirabanan La Yiftach V'idnei. So the Gemara has that progression that therefore a Talmud Chacham should not start learning at this time. So Esmeram Chalav V'im Taimar Amaye Hilkach. So what is this whole therefore statement? So mas nisun hu arba asar bodkin es hachametz. So there the Mishnah says that or arba asar and kaperish haraivitzal. And we know the interpretation of the raivit. So ef shalomar the imam mas nisun, if you just had the Mishnah, hava mina dizrizus kamashmala. That you could have just thought that it's just a Zrizus point. Umehad Rav Nachman, the time of Mishum Gula Matzla Mivzach B'yom U'arhaner. And here now you have Rav Nachman's statement, which fills it out, that the issue is that maybe you're not going to have the opportunity during the daytime to use the Orhaner. So his language is a little clipped and a little bit vague. So I'm not sure whether it necessarily changes the focus of the Ravid from something more fundamental to something more practical, but there are some who point to that language, the Maram Chalava, as maybe shifting things over a little bit. But okay, so without that, so we have the Rambam's language of Mitchila Salaila, and the Ravid's interpretation of the Mishnah, which sounds like he's saying it's not just all night is theoretically equal, but that is the Zman. The Zman is the beginning of the night. So what practical nafkaminas could emerge from that? What would you think? Does it have a nafkamina lahalacha, practically speaking? And, yeah, Daniil?
Well, it could be similar to what we said yesterday, that if you're not doing it on the 14th, it's going to be at the night of the previous night, let's say. Should you wait till it's night time, or should you just do it during the day?
Okay, so that could be a reason, a nafkamina between the two reasons of Rav Nachman.
No, I'm saying even according to this machlokas between the Rav and the Rambam.
You say that if the idea is, well, if you say that the Zman is the night time, because of the...
But seemingly according to the Rav, that it's specifically, specifically at that first moment,
Are you saying so that does night equal, the rest of the night equal the day basically once you miss that first moment? All right, that's interesting. By the way, did you see the Taz? I think I put the Taz on the list. Right, the Taz also addresses the question of why do we need both reasons? And there, the Taz adds on that the issue is, on the one hand, you want to have the candlelight, but also the idea of having it specifically at the beginning of the night, and the Gemara's statement that that's when people come home. So the Taz explains that that's a part of what Chazal had in mind, that in order for this mitzvah to be memorable and to be perceived as a priority, it had to be associated with a time of transition. So there's a transition, people come home just then, and you're catching them before they move on to their next thing. So that's fundamentally different than 11 o'clock at night, which doesn't necessarily have any significance as a transitional point. And so Chazal specifically formulated the mitzvah then in order to give it the attention that it would need. I could call up the language of the Taz. So here, hold on a second, let me get it. Actually, I can. Let me call it up, we could look at it together. I'll put it in the chat. Let's see if this works. So nira d'tzrichi travayu, so I'll call upon him boi shabu vureres, likvoa babadika. So we need a clear and distinct time in order to establish when the bedikah should be. The Hainu Lomar Sheish Shinui Va'osa Shah, that there's something changing at that time. There's a transition happening. V'yesh Ba'roshim, and there's some kind of an impact at self. So Akarcha Chiksha HaGemara D'Nibdok B'Shit, so maybe you should have count, maybe you should have looked in the 6th hour, Sha'az Yesh Roshim V'Shinui Be'etzu Chameitz D'Raisa, because then there is a change because Chameitz is becoming prohibited. Reason. So if you would do it in the morning, that's also a difference from other times because that has the element of reason. Like we see that Avram got up early in the morning. So at night, there isn't anything happening that's going to give it any significance. Ella b'tchila, except at the beginning of the night, that's when you have a transition. Sha'az derech adam lavo l'beisu mibuchutz. That's when a person comes home from work. Right? So that's the ikker. Ella de bias adam raga lios bein hashmashos od ksat yom. So a person comes home when it's already still dusk time and it's already still daytime a little bit. But tzarech lahamtin ad shahaner matik. But you have to wait until it's really going to have some light coming from the candle. Al karchich yamtin mishas biaso. So you have to wait a little bit from the time that the person comes home. Sha'az yesh shinoi ad havhaka saner. Then that's going to have a transition to the point of when the candle is brighter. Shu'a layla mamash. That is the actual time of night.
Bless you. Sorry.
Okay. Okay, so now that time where it specifically is also part of controversy. And we will come back to that also. Okay, so with that picture, it sounds like the Taz is really saying, similar to what the Ravid is associated with, that there is a specific reason that Chazal attached the mitzvah to this time, and that is the time of the mitzvah. And later on is simply not the time of the mitzvah. You have to do it anyway. And we see you have to do Bedikas Chametz even all the way through till after Pesach. But you're missing something fundamental if it's not done then. While the Rambam might disagree. So one practical difference, if you're doing something earlier because of reason or even because of considerations of missing the mitzvah, so then it plays out differently in terms of how it balances against other considerations. Right? You may recall from when we spent more time on the sugya of reason makdim and the mitzvos, that the math of how you compare one mila to another, one consideration to another, so it shifts depending on what's driving it. So if we're talking about what comes first, or what are the rules of prioritization, it makes a difference how the decision is being reached. So the prohibition of learning, you saw on the tour, and it also appears in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, a machlokas about how this prohibition of learning plays out. There are a few machlokas, and actually in the later sources. But on one basic issue, there's the machlokas Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yonah, and the other, Rabbeinu Yonah and the Tur, and the Machaber and the Ramah, about one issue. Anyone know what I'm talking about? It's a question of... Yeah, lady, raising hand? Correct, right? So let's say you are learning before. So do you have to stop for Bedikas Chametz? So the Torah quotes Rabbeinu Yonah that no, you don't. You keep on going. And the Torah himself disagrees. And you find that dynamic also in the Mechaber and the Ramah, right? That the Mechaber quotes that view that if you're in the middle of learning, you don't have to stop. And the Ramah says, quotes the view, no, they really, you should stop. So what could be behind this machlokas is, what exactly is the dynamic here? That if we're talking about the reason like the Mitzvos, or about related kind of concepts, so that plays out differently when compared to other things. So it may tell you you shouldn't start another project right now. You have two projects in front of you, learning and Bedikas Chametz. So do Bedikas Chametz first. Now is it Zman, Zrizim Makdim and the Mitzvos, and we're worried you may forget it. But if you're already in the middle of learning, so then maybe not. But if the issue is that this is the time for the mitzvah, the beginning of the night is when the mitzvah is supposed to happen, then for sure you should stop. So perhaps that machlokas is revolving around this question. Is the beginning of the night the actual time for the mitzvah, which gives it a much more prioritized element? Or is it no? It's really no different than later on, and an hour later you'll still have the mitzvah in the same way, and 3 hours later you'll still have the mitzvah in the same way. Just the chachila, we say for its reasonable purposes and for not missing the mitzvah purposes, we say do it first. But if you're ready in the middle of learning, that shifts the dynamic, and we won't ask you to stop. Does it make sense? Everyone with me so far? Danielle?
The only thing is that the Shulchan Aruch Lashon is the Tila
way about it. Uh-huh. Oh, you think the Shulchan Aruch itself to work it out with the Rambam, that the...
Right, I mean, the Shulchan Aruch says that you don't have to stop, right?
Right.
So, seemingly, it's a little bit, to use this as explaining the machlokas may not work, because the Shulchan Aruch seemingly says that specifically at the beginning of the night.
That's an interesting point. You're saying that if you're going to carry the diuk over to the Shulchan Aruch himself, so then the language sounds more like the Ravid, and it should be more specific. Okay, that point is well taken. Where do these positions come from? He's setting aside the svara behind them, but there's a reason also, just textually and otherwise, that each voice here has it's a position, right? So where Rabbeinu Yonah, for example, the idea that if you've started already, you can continue. So what supports his position? Textually or from other knowledge? All right.
Shabbos
Daf Tes, yeah.
And then an internal consideration of just like the flow of the Gemara, when you see if I respond to Nachman, say the word Holkach, that you know you shouldn't start your learning. Well, it doesn't necessarily seem to be like Ma'akev. It's just it's like based off of these considerations, you should have the search be some kind of like of these reasons. But if we have these reasons met, then we're being in a consideration of having your search any time during the night, not preferentially the start of the night, that should be valid.
Okay, so let's take your 2 points one by one. The first point we'll take wholesale. Second point to tweak a little bit. But the later svarim invoke both, in a sense, with the tweak, that your first point, so that's how the Bach writes, that the knowledge of how these things work would indicate that that should be the policy. That if you learn Shabbos Daf Tes, like you mentioned, so there we find that you have certain restrictions on what you can do Bizman Mincha. But if you're already started, you're allowed to continue. And as far as we know, this applies to Kriya Shema also. And Kriya Shema is a Dimin HaTorah. So as the Bach writes, sounds like it's a Kal v'chomer that if that's the policy, and it's a policy even by Torah law, so it should be the policy here also. And we shouldn't be required to interrupt. And the other proof that Beis Yosef points out, like you started to say, the language of the Gemara, but his focus is on a different word, not on the Hilkach, but another word that really does seem to support the Rabbein Yonah. What word is that from the Gemara? Lo liftach. Now you shouldn't start. You shouldn't open up the sefer then. You shouldn't open up the sugya. So that would seem on the surface like a pretty strong proof for Rabbeinu Yonah's position, like kimat explicit in the Gemara, that one should not start a shir then. But it sounds like if you're not starting, but it was going from before, so then it should be okay. So it's interesting that the Torah disagrees and that the Ramah disagrees, considering the fact that that does seem like a pretty solid point. So if you saw the Taz has a lot to say on this whole sugi here. If you read all the Taz on the side, it's very worthwhile. That the Taz explains the Torah, because the point is seemingly a strong one. The Taz explains the Torah saying that maybe what the Gemara means is that it's a chiddush and a unexpected direction. That if somebody was learning from, let's say, was learning Bahasmada Maruba from noontime on the 13th, he's been learning for 7 hours straight. So then you might think, okay, for sure, this guy's got to stop and deal with Bedikas Chametz now, because otherwise nothing's going to change. When he sat down, he wasn't even thinking of Bedikas Chametz, and he was just thinking of the Ketos. And now it's time for Bedikas Chametz, so he's got to stop. But maybe it's an unexpected and counterintuitive kind of Kal v'chomer. But if somebody already in the Zman of Bedikas Chametz, they say, okay, I know I got to go do Bedikas Chametz, but I'm just so curious about what the Kso says about the sugya that we had in Shir yesterday. I just got to look it up. So, okay, that person, okay, he'll look up the Ksos and he'll realize, okay, when he's done, he's got to do Bedikas Chametz. He knows that because he started it already in a time of Bedikas Chametz. But the guy who started learning before Bedikas Chametz is even on his mind at all, so Kal v'chomer, that guy has to stop. Right? So it's a counterintuitive Kal v'chomer. It's not so obvious, but that's what the Taz suggests, because otherwise the Gemara does seem like a pretty slam dunk source for Rabbeinu Yonah's position. Seems to say only Davka that you shouldn't start learning, but it would imply that if you were learning from before, you should be able to continue. Of course, we mentioned the creative position that the Meiri quoted yesterday, and the Meiri didn't conclude like, but that the Meiri's quotation from a suggestion that it means you shouldn't start a new Masechta, which is a totally different. Meiri in general is a fascinating sefer. He quotes all the Rishonim. He has Svaris, the Achronim that hadn't been written yet. He anticipated them. And he's always going to be the one who's going to quote the totally out of the park kind of, out of the box kind of interpretation. So if it really meant that you're not supposed to start a new Masechta, so then it wouldn't have any relevance to this question of somebody who was learning before. So it wouldn't be such a riot. But assuming that that's not such a strong interpretation, so the Gemara does seem to support Rabbeinu Yonah's position. And that's how the Taz suggests. So these are in terms of how you could come to this conclusion, but ultimately, what does it represent? So maybe it represents, like Rav Cook suggests, the question of, is this the time or is just this the best time, but not necessarily the only factor if there are other things that are competing. Now, what about the Bach's other point that if the halacha is, Bach interpreting Rabbeinu Yonah, that if the halacha is that even Kriya Shema you don't have to interrupt for. So it is interesting that here, Bedikas Chametz is more chamer than the mitzvah min haTorah of Kriyat Shema. Right? And that's why he said maybe Rabbeinu Yonah came to the opposite conclusion. Because it's surprising that B'dikas Chameis should have a greater chumrah than Kriyat Shema. Now, the truth is, it would have been surprising, but it's not that surprising, because it was already more chumrah than Kriyat Shema. Because the Gemara in the beginning of Brachos, parallel of Dalet and Brachos, Dalet and Tzachim and Dalet and Brachos, so the Gemara there talks about not delaying Kriya Shema at night, and the whole question of whether Chazal made a gezeirah of Chatzos, we spoke about that a little bit before Yontif, so that one shouldn't push it off and think he has all night. But in that context, the Gemara says that if a person has a set Seder to learn a little bit, he can do that before Kriya Shema. So we already know, actually, that this din is more chumrah than Kriya Shema. So it would have been surprising, like the Bach says, to say B'dikas Chameis should be more chumrah than Kriyat Shema, in that it requires you to stop learning and Kriyat Shema doesn't. But it happens to be it already is more chumrah, because when it comes to Kriyat Shema, you could even start learning. And here it's clear that when it comes to B'dikas Chameis, you're not allowed to do that. So, yes, indeed, B'dikas Chameis D'Rabbanan is treated with greater chumrah than Kriyat Shema D'Oraisa. So why would you think that is? What svara could there be to have this greater chumrah for B'dikas Chameis that you're not allowed to learn, even if the parameters are arguable, but the concept is there that you're not allowed to learn, and when it comes to Kriya Shema, we're not as machmir. Why should that be? Nachum?
B'dikas, like, only the action you do once a year. If you're going to do every single day, you're not going to forget that. How it's going to be in mind. B'dika, which is out of the blue one time a year, might be more susceptible to forget it.
Okay, very good. That's what the Bach says. Right? And this is fascinating discussion in general, because this is also something we've been calling our attention to throughout. We talk about Dinim D'Rabbanan and Gezeres and when they make Gezeres. So we saw that there's a very subtle analysis that Chazal applied just to figure out exactly what's a concern and what's not a concern. And maybe I should repeat the point because it's now it's this week's Parsha. So it's just to give you a reminder, we spoke about this before, but now that it's in the Parsha, I'll bring it up again. That in this week's Parsha, so Chazal, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, learns out from Parsha's Bereishis, Shekol HaMosif Gareya, right, that we shouldn't add on because sometimes that ends up detracting. And we see that from Parsha's Bereishis, that Chava believes, apparently Adam told it to her this way, that God said, don't touch the Eitz Hadas, when really he only said, don't eat from the Eitz Hadas. And that caused everything to unravel, because once that didn't lead to a lightning immediately striking, so she thought the whole thing wasn't really an issue. So the Gemara says, Kol HaMosif Gareya. And the apparent question is, well, we know Chazal were Mosif a lot. We know that we have a few Siagla Torah that they very often set safeguards, and we usually see that as a good idea. So when is it a good idea and when is it a bad idea? So if you recall, so what I mentioned at the time is that I would have thought the answer to the question is it's all about presentation. That had Adam and Chava discussed amongst themselves and said, listen, God said we shouldn't eat this fruit. It's probably a good policy to make for us that we shouldn't even touch the tree so that we shouldn't come to eat it. If they said it that way, it wouldn't have had any risk. So it's all about the presentation. That's how the Rambam understands in Hilchos Mamrim that Baal Tosef is violated when a addition to the Torah is presented as if it's in the Torah itself. But the Torah Tamima, if you want to read in this week's Parsha, the Torah Tamima has a whole fascinating analysis says about you have to understand exactly what's risky and what's not, and that you have to have a perfectly calibrated addition, not too much and not too little. And you contrasted there, Chametz on Pesach, our topic, where the Torah already was machmir with Bayura, Bayumatze, because Chametz is kares and is something that's mutter 51 weeks a year. But on the other hand, Yom Kippur, when food is mutter every other day of the year except for one, we don't prohibit all owning all food on Yom Kippur. Why not? Because if you're not eating at all, so then it's easier for you to remember not to eat. But when you're eating a little bit, you're eating stuff that's not chametz, it's harder to remember to eat but not to eat chametz. So you have to figure out exactly where does Eitz HaDaas fit into that whole psychological framework. So it just reminds us that the Torah and Chazal, when they are making policies, there's all kinds of different cheshbonos. So yes, Chumrah is a part of it, but also what's a pitfall psychologically and what isn't. So that's Menachem's point, that yes, Bedikas Chametz is Drabanan and Kriya Shema is Daraisa. So you think if that's the only thing we're concerned about, so let's be more machmir by Kriya Shema than we are by Bedikas Chametz. But that's not the way it works, that there are other considerations also that are relevant. So Kriya Shema, you'd say every night. So it's reasonable to believe that a person can set up for himself a schedule. Okay, I'll learn a little bit, I'll say Kriya Shema afterwards, and it's not going to lead to problems. That's my normal Seder Hayom. But one night a year, I have an obligation of Bedikas Chametz, so it's easy to forget. Not a part of your routine, and therefore that requires us to take a more aggressive stance. So that's how the Bach understands. However, the son-in-law of the Bach was the Taz, and so the Taz, in his commentary, going back on the statement that we said before, the Taz says, with all due respect to my father-in-law, so I don't think you need to give it that interpretation. Because we can answer it based on what we said before. So, whether or not you saw the Taz, can you guess where this is going? How can the Taz use what he said before to give a different answer to this question? Why are we more machmir by Bedikas Chametz than by Kriya Shema? Menachem?
We want to make sure we hit upon that before we do Kriya Shema.
Ah, exactly. Okay, you're actually comparing both of them the same night, but your answer is correct. That's what the Taz says. You're two for two now. Very good. You got the Bach and the Taz, right? That he says, no, Kriya Shema is different than Bedikas Chametz along the lines of what we saw with the Rambam and the Raizit. That when it comes to Kriya Shema, the whole night is equal. Kriya Shema should be said at night, and any minute of the night is really equal to any other minute of the night. But we're concerned you might come to forget, and there are other factors which would indicate that you should ideally do it at the beginning of the night. But as far as the mitzvah itself is concerned, it's any time of the night. So if you have some other consideration, that might justify doing it later. But when it comes to Bedikas Chametz, the Taz says, according to the Taz's explanation, the Chazal specifically picked that time. So then that's the Zman of the Mitzvah. So that's why we don't want you learning that, because you're neglecting the time of the Mitzvah. But Kriya Shema doesn't have that cheshbon. Kriya Shema, we just need to make sure you're not going to forget. So if there's enough of a reason to believe that it's not at risk, okay, so later is no different than earlier. But Bedikas Chametz later is fundamentally different. The mitzvah is the beginning of the night, and if you're going to do it later, you're missing something fundamental. And that's another way to explain this difference, and also to explain the more machmir position of the Rama against the Shulchan Aruch and the Tur against Rabban Yonah, that even if you started before, you should still be masik. Okay, so far so good. Everyone with me? Okay, so just to mention for a minute, so there are various chilukim once you get into the psychology. So if you look in the Magen Avraham and the Taz, look in Magen Avraham especially, so you'll see that there are a couple of chilukim that are suggested as to what makes the difference with the learning. So is this an absolute prohibition against all learning, or are there situations that may make a difference? So the poskim talk about this at length because it has practical ramifications. So, for example, people go to shul around the shkia time every night in our modern shul setup. So on an average night, so somebody will go to shul right before shkia to daven mincha and daven ma'ariv right afterwards. And there may also be a shir then, or there may be a Dvar Torah then, and maybe a few minutes, somewhere in between a Dvar Torah and a Shir. In between Mincha and Marv, and maybe there'll be something right after Marv. So how do those parts fit in? So first of all, does the whole setup have to change? So is it an issue to daven Marv before Bedikas Chametz? So Paulus can talk about this, and they raise the possibility that if you're davening Bitzibur, so then better to daven in the normal time before Bedikas Chametz because you're going to be unlikely to be able to gather a minyan afterwards. And presumably also they don't mention this specifically, but everyone's Bedikas Chametz is going to take a different length of time. And once you're going to say, okay, everyone go home and do Bedikas Chametz and let's meet back here again for a Ma'ariv afterwards, it's going to really be hard to coordinate. So, Bitzibor should daven Marv before. But if somebody, for whatever reason, is davening Bichizus anyway, so then that would be a different consideration. But okay, so if you're davening Bitzibor, so they'll do Marv before Bidikus Chametz. So what about Shir? What about the Dvar Torah, or the half Shir that they may have in between Mincha Marv or after Marv even? So the Magen Avraham talks about this, and he thought there was a distinction, that when we say you shouldn't be learning, so that means if you're at home waiting to do Bedikas Chametz, so if you start opening up a sefer and you start being lefalpel, so then who knows, nothing's going to stop you, no reason for you to stop until morning, as we all know. So therefore you may come to miss Bedikas Chametz. But when you're learning in shul, so then the normal Seder is you eventually go home. So it's not going to be forever. So then we perhaps don't have to worry as much. Again, this is a fascinating discussion because you see the subtleties of what you have to worry about, what you don't have to worry about, what's more chumer, what's less chumer, what's outside of the routine. All of this is embedded in the way the din manifests itself, or at least the way the poskim understand it. So the Magen Avraham thought that was a reasonable distinction. And also, as poskim point out, that presumably if other people are involved, that also impacts whether you're likely to forget. We're talking about learning by yourself, we're talking about learning with other people. That also should make a difference. Magen Avraham also goes on to say that even though, I just told you, Magen Avraham says that it's okay to learn for a few minutes in shul because you're going to go home and that'll be the transition. So, but that's assuming that you're learning something that's pretty bland. But if you're going to have some really exciting pupil that's really going to pull you in, then you still have to worry about it. Still have to be concerned that that may distract you. Now, there are some svarim that suggest, I think I was talking with some, maybe I was talking to Kiva about this during Seder, that maybe a good Eitza is if you learn Hilchos Bedikas Chametz. So that maybe there's an argument to be made that that's different from other learning because that by its very nature will remind you in the spirit of what the Gemara says later on in the parak that Bedikas Chametz on Yontif itself, you shouldn't think it's dangerous because you'll find chametz that you're going to come to eat on Pesach because the whole goal is to keep you away from the chametz of the bedikah. You shouldn't see it as a risk. So So too, if you're learning Hilchos B'dikas Chametz, and then maybe that will prevent you from missing B'dikas Chametz. You could poke some holes in that possibly, but that's an interesting. Yeah, you could outsmart yourself. And also, you know, the stereotype of the Lamdin who's completely removed from practical halacha is probably going to play a role here, and you could easily imagine and probably give a few good mussar shmuz about the guy who will spend all night tippling about chakiras and bedikas chametz. So I could say that he doesn't do bedikas chametz itself. Now, there are some who explain that the reason you have halacha that even though osik mitzvah patim in a mitzvah, so most other mitzvahs in the Torah, if you're involved in one, you don't stop for the other. The surprising exception, it's the Gemara Moed Katan, is Talmud Torah, that Talmud Torah does not pati you from other mitzvahs. And you do, assuming that it's a mitzvah that only you can do, or a mitzvah for personal obligations, that you have to stop learning to do the mitzvah. And you're not exempt from the second mitzvah. And some explain, because Kiva was making this point during Seder, that if you say that learning is almanas lasos, that not the only reason you learn, but one of the reasons of Talmud Torah is in order to do mitzvos, it doesn't make sense to say that you should be off the hook for mitzvos because you're learning. There's something fundamentally illogical about that. So here, you can still imagine it happening, that somebody could get so involved in the alumnus of B'dikas Chametz that they don't actually do B'dikas Chametz, but maybe that's more the stereotypical joke version, and practically speaking, it's reasonable to assume that if somebody is focusing on this concept, so they will remember to do the mitzvah itself, and it's not going to lead to a distraction. Let's just quickly end with one point, and then this is mostly we want to say about this, maybe a few other details, but again, tomorrow is Parsha, but after this we want to move on, for the most part, to the next Tugin in the Gemara about the renter. Some very important ideas there. But just practically speaking, what exactly is the time, which obviously also is important for filling the dinim here. So what do we mean when we say nighttime for B'dikas Chametz? This happens to be a big machlokas also. Because there are some who read the Ravid and come to the conclusion that it's really ben hashmashos, that or la'abasar, that it means when there's still a little bit of light, and therefore it doesn't mean full darkness. It means when it's a little bit of a mixture, where it's still a little bit of the daytime. Others disagree with this for a number of reasons, and they even disagree that that's what the Ravid meant. So if you look, for example, the Machzeh Shekel, if you have on the page of the Shulchan Aruch, so the Machzeh Shekel is printed at the bottom of the page of the Shulchan Aruch, so the very beginning of Taf Lamed Aleph, so the Machzeh Shekel quotes a Machlokis about this, and this is Machlokis also in the Ravid, right? There are some who read the Ravid to say it should mean Ben Hashmashos, and others who disagree that that's not what he meant. He didn't mean there should be any physical light. He meant that it should begin to be the beginning of the night, but it should be when it's real night. And Rav Kook, for example, discusses this in the comments of the Tovaroi. So clearly, as someone mentioned yesterday, the logic of nighttime and candlelight being effective at nighttime would lead you to say that you want it to be as night as possible. You want it to be real dark. If it's darker, then the candlelight is going to be even more effective. So if that's the point, you want it to be really dark, not a little bit light. And all the Ravid meant is that it should be the beginning of actual night, but not Ben Hashmashos, actual night. You should wait till Tzeitzer Kochavim, when it's really dark, and then at the beginning of that time, that's when you should do it. Now, it's a little problematic. You can make your own decision about whether the Ravid fits in with that, but it would seem like the Ravid's point that there's a reason why the Tana used the word or here, and it's not just Lishna Ma'alia, but it has some actual significance. So it sounds like he is saying that there should be a little light mixed in, that it's more Ben Hashmashal. So this was a big machlokas, how exactly to conclude, whether you want to disagree with the Ravid or whether you want to reinterpret the Ravid, and it's all a part of what's discussed in this machlokas. The Elia Rabba, for example, so he writes, So the things you have to be machmir in both directions, that the Isser Limud, that's going to start during Banish Mashos. But when should you actually do Bedikas Chametz? So that would be after Tzeisa Kochav. That's the last line in the Eli Rabba when he discusses this point. So that's a subject to Machlokas that all ties in to these original issues. Okay, so just let's quickly recap what we spoke about. So we talked about how the Gemara's two reasons seem to one be a specific Bedikas Chametz reason and the other one be a more general don't delay mitzvot reason. And we saw that there is a subtle machlokas, the Rambam and the Ravid, not as explicit as they usually are, but there is a subtle interpretation needing machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid, that the idea that we do Bedikas Chametz at the beginning of the night, the Rambam may see that as not particularly significant, the whole night is Zizman, but for reasons of Zrizus or not losing the mitzvah, you should do it at the beginning, but theoretically the mitzvah could be all night, Mitzchilat HaLaila. While the Ravid seems to understand that the mitzvah is specifically at the beginning of the night, and that when the Mishnah says Oral Abasar, it's not simply a Lishna Ma'alia, but it's a way of saying when there's still a little bit of light from the previous day, and therefore the beginning of the night, that's the Zman. So it looks at Maram Chalava, who's quotes arrive in a way that may muddy the issue a little bit, but that seems to be a difference between the Rambam and the Ravid. And so one major nafkamina would be the question of how does that play up against other things. So let's say, for example, you started learning already, so do you have to stop? So this was a machlokas, the Torah quotes of Ben Yoni, you do not have to stop, the Torah then disagrees. And the Mechaber also quotes this view, you don't have to stop, and the Ramah disagrees. So if the Zman of the Mitzvah is then, you'd understand why you do have to stop. If the Zman of the Mitzvah is all night, just there are reasons to do it at the earliest possible time, that may allow for some more flexibility. And that might be the view that you don't have to stop. And then we discussed also in terms of supporting the position that you don't have to stop. So there's at least two reasons to say that. One is that that seems to be the halacha in general, from we see from the first parak of Shabbat, that even when you're not supposed to start a project before the Zman of a Mitzvah, but if you already started before, you can keep going. And that's true even by a Daraisa like Kriyashma. And also the language of the Liftach sounds like it means exactly what Rabbi Yonah is saying. Don't start them, but if you start before, you can continue. So the Taz addresses that question because it does seem to be pretty powerful. Unless I want to take the Meiri's quotation that he doesn't agree with, that it means don't start it in the Sefta. But the Taz explains that no, it's actually a Kavachomer in a way you wouldn't have thought, that if you start much earlier, then for sure you should stop because you weren't even holding a B'dikas Chametz yet. You're not going to think about it at all. But if you start learning in a time when B'dikas Chametz is already relevant, then that counterintuitively is better because it was already on your mind, you will stop, and that's going to be a different consideration. So what about the other point that Kriya Shema is more Chamer? So we discussed that it's already more Chamer because Kriya Shema, you are allowed to learn before, and here you're not. So why indeed is B'dikas Chametz the Rabbanan more Chamer? So we saw two approaches, like Menachem pointed out, on the one hand the Bach, that Kriya Shema you do every day, so you're not worried that you'll lose the habit, but when it comes to B'dikas Chametz only once a year, and I mentioned throughout this whole discussion is fascinating as far as going back and forth, what we have to worry about, we don't have to worry about, all a part of how Chazal approach things. And also the other consideration that when it comes to Kriya Shema, and this is more fundamental, like the way we're understanding the Ravid, the Taz explains, disagreeing with his father-in-law, the Bach, that the difference between Kriya Shema is more fundamental, that Kriya Shema, the mitzvah, is all night, just we don't want to lose it, and so we say do it earlier. But B'dikas Chametz, the mitzvah is specifically the beginning of the night. So therefore we understand why it's treated with more chumrah than Kriya Shema, and that's consistent with the Taz's own explanation that Chazal specifically picked up on that moment of transition, the beginning of the night, in order to formulate the mitzvah then. Then we discuss some other chilukim that are in the poskim about the learning thing, the Magen Avraham discussing what if you're learning in shul as opposed to home, or if you're learning with a group of people, what if it's more fascinating learning that's going to pull you in even more. Does that make a difference in how all that plays out? We talked about whether it matters if you are learning about Hilchos B'dikas Chametz, some cynical, stereotypical possibilities one might come up with where it shouldn't work. And then finally, we talked about, practically speaking, so when is this man? The impression many got from the Ravid is that it's Ben Hashmashos, so that's the whole point, that Or is not just a Melitza or a Lishna Malia, but it means literally that there's light coming in. And others who disagreed, really for logical reasons, that if the point is you want the candle to be powerful, so you really need darkness, and the conclusion of the Al Yerabah to be machmer in both directions, that the Isser Talmud Torah should start as Bein Hashmashos, but the mitzvah of Bedika shouldn't happen until it was actually dark. Okay, so we will stop there. Look forward to seeing you at 9 o'clock tomorrow, where we will continue with Avos Chesed. And then some exciting themes in the second Aliyah of Parshas Bereishis. So you shall all have a wonderful day, and look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Okay, have a great day.